Denver CityCast, Bet Rivers Network, Holden Kushner, Embiid versus Jokic tonight. At least we think that Embiid's going to play. Huge game between the Nuggets and the Sixers for the MVP race, for the number one seed in the West race, and everything else. I'll break that down. Plus, we'll get a bet there and spread a stare from RunPureSports.com is going to come on and break it down because he's a great NBA insider as well. Also, Sean Payton speaks to the media at the NFL's annual league meeting. Had a lot to say, including some stuff on the Broncos backup quarterback. I think that's fascinating stuff. Talk a little Final Four as well, but we'll start with Embiid versus Jokic because the MVP, it could be on the line tonight with the Sixers in town. Embiid was a minus 200 favorite to win the MVP last week. Joker was plus 230. The Nuggets kind of snapping out of their funk. Jokic going bananas against Giannis and the Bucks, and the line moved. Now, Embiid minus 167, Joker plus 175. I bet Joker at plus 230, recommended to do that last week, so I bet it. We'll see what happens here. I bet it more because of the number than anything else. I can't control what the voters want to say about this. Also, it's a three-man race because Giannis is sitting at plus 250. I do kind of feel like that game against the Nuggets knocked Giannis out. But we'll see. Embiid questionable tonight. If he sits, I hope it's a huge hit to his MVP case because there's really no reason for him to sit tonight. It doesn't seem as though physically he'll have any limitations. So it should take a hit to his MVP case. I do hope he plays, though. Now, there's a story on ESPN that dropped today, shockingly, on the day and the night that Joker plays Embiid head-to-head. And what did it say? It says that per advanced NBA stats, and it's a whole article on Joker's defense, 33 players have defended 300 shots at the rim. Jokic has allowed the highest field goal percentage at 69%. Opponents have shot 54% on layups and dunks when Jokic is the contesting defender. That ranks 64th among 65 players. Okay, so we can really look, and the only player worse than him in that scenario is Thomas Bryant, his backup, but we can dig up stats to make a case on both sides. Because on the other hand, Joker leads the Nuggets in defensive box plus minus per Basketball Reference. Who the hell cares about that? The knock on him that he's not good defensively, there are some metrics that say he's not, and they're right, and there's some metrics that say he's terrific, and they're right. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but let me pontificate on Philly fans for a second, because the hate just continues. And Kendrick Perkins obviously stoked the flames, but the Philly fans have been taking this personally now for 2 years. They called Jokic Chokic. And he, I know a lot of guys from Philly and a couple that actually moved out here to Denver. And I tell them, you guys are the worst sports fans in America. And a couple of them actually agree. They know they're the worst. I think they wear it as a badge. But Joker lives rent-free in Philly. Rent-free in their heads. I've never seen anything like this. Jokic has never said anything bad about Embiid. He's never said anything bad about the Sixers, and he's never said anything bad about Philly. They play in different conferences. They play a couple of times a year. And the Philly fans just want their guy to win the MVP, and he hasn't been as good as the Joker the last couple of years. And now you see the story where Embiid comes out and he says he doesn't, quote-unquote, stat pad, which was one of Kendrick Perkins' big arguments. And I do wonder, because I only read this, I didn't see the video and I can't find the video, I wonder if this was taken out of context, because I have a hard time thinking Embiid's going to take a shot at Joker. But Philly and the national media, they're going to paint it as such. And the two go head-to-head tonight, and I cannot wait for this game, and I'm all over it. This is probably the most excited I've been for a Nuggets game this season since opening night. Here are the lines on Bet Rivers as the Sixers come to town. Nuggets -5, total 229.5. Now, this is in the morning, so I'm taping this around 10 o'clock in the morning, and I've already seen line moves. I've already seen line moves over the 2 hours since I started my prep. It's actually moved from 5 to 5.5, and the total is down to 228. A lot of money coming in on the under here. A lot of money coming in on the under. So I'm going to stay off the under at 228. Had a slight lean at 229.5. I still like the Nuggets here at -5.5. I don't think that move is enough to get me off of the Nuggets. Joker, if we're looking at a triple-double, he has not recorded a triple-double in 6 of his last 7 games. That run might be over, but 5 of those games were on the road where he struggled to get triple-doubles. He finished 4 rebounds shy against Giannis and the Bucks earlier in the season. And back in Philly, he almost had a triple-double, 24-8-9, but Embiid just had the better game. Joker's going to get up for this. Joker's getting up for this. And I'm not saying that he's getting up for this just to win the MVP. It's to beat one of the best teams in the NBA and to make another statement here. So if you see a Joker triple-double on Bet Rivers, I would not hit it unless we're looking at a +175. I kind of put the number up there a little bit higher than I normally would, especially for a home game. But that's where I would bet the Joker prop, just on the number. Now, as far as the game preview goes, right? The Nuggets have won 3 straight, 4 of 5. They went through their funk and they survived it. And they've come out stronger because of it, I think. Now, not only is Embiid questionable, James Harden is questionable. He's missed the past 2 games. He's got an Achilles issue. So here's the numbers. Nuggets 30-6 straight up. 22-13-1 against the spread at home. Sixers have dropped 2 straight without Harden. They had losses to Golden State and Phoenix, so a couple of tough teams. They're going to wrap this up. They're not coming off a back-to-back, but they are coming off a couple losses. Sixers have also lost 3 of 4. Now, they've scored 111 points per game in their last 3, 2 without Harden. They don't rebound the ball as well as the Nuggets either. Both teams bottom 9 in pace this season, which is why I think we're seeing the total come down. The Sixers 6-1 to the under in their last 7. Nuggets 5-0 to the under in their last 5. Does it mean anything once the game tips? No. But without James Harden, I think this game is going under. So that news will come out. If he plays, this thing probably goes back up to 229, 229.5. Under 6-2 in the last 8 meetings between the two teams. I don't think it really matters. Here's my play. Nuggets -5.5 at -109. And we can actually kind of mess with the total too, under 236. So here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to go a little bit different than what we usually do on the show. I'll do a little same game parlay. Nuggets -5.5. We'll jack the total all the way up to 236. And we're going to get this price at +148. So I'm down with this. +148. We'll take this wager. Nuggets -5.5 under 236 is the play. And we'll get a bet and some more analysis from my guy Spread Astaire of runpurebets.com a little bit later in the show. But that is the Nuggets talk. You got to bring up the MVP and you got to bring up the side. And this is a game that the Nuggets need to win because Memphis is just 3 games behind them now. 3 games behind them now with 8 games to play. Memphis has just been playing out of their minds. 6 straight victories. 6 straight victories for them. Pretty impressive with what they've done so far, especially late in the season with Ja Morant and that whole issue that they've had going down. Okay, so that's the first thing. And the second thing I want to get into is the Broncos. Sean Payton spoke to the media at the NFL's annual league meeting. And here's some highlights of what he had to say. Payton says he's going to play starters in the preseason, no doubt. Remember with this time last year? Good old Nathaniel Hackett. I'm not playing guys in the preseason. They don't need it. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And Sean Payton making a big change right there. Matter of fact, he's just blowing everything out of the water. He doesn't want anything. Outside of the defense, he doesn't want anything back on this team that was performing like they were. Revamp the special teams. Revamp the offense. He also says that the chatter that Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton will be traded. That'll continue because the draft is not deep at the wide receiver position. And I'm going to get into a little bit more with Judy and Sutton, because Peyton also said, just like everybody else, we're not trading these two players, though. So we'll get into that a little bit deeper in a moment. The next point, I like this. Talking about Jarrett Stidham. We feel like he could become an NFL starter. He's smart. He quietly, that was an important signing for us. He thinks Stidham can be a starter, and I think that's a big reason why they went out there and got this guy. But now the tea leaves, we're starting to read them a little clearer. If he thinks Stidham can be a starter, an important piece going forward, then Russell Wilson is truly on watch. And he could be benched for Stidham if there's a slow start. It's a good signing. I said I like the signing. We did see Stidham make some mistakes in those two games with the Raiders that he started down the stretch. But this will be a totally different offense. Totally different offense than what we saw in Las Vegas. So, again, he has plans for Stidham, and Russell Wilson's on watch. We knew it. Now it's confirmed. At running back, here's another interesting one. Sean Payton on whether or not Latavius Murray is still in the mix. Okay, because right now they got Samaje Perine. They'll probably draft a rookie or have an undrafted rookie free agent. And then Javonte will be back at some point in time. But highly doubt he's going to be the player that he was last year before the injury. Probably targeting next season to be back where he needs to be. But speaking of Latavius, Sean Payton, it was interesting. He says, we'll see. We'll see about Latavius. I mean, concerning Latavius, why not? You know, wait on news for Javonte. Maybe Javonte is back. I cannot imagine the market for Murray is a very hot one at his age. What is he, 32? So at any point in time, if Sean Payton wants Latavius back, in all likelihood, Latavius is going to be out there. Payton also likes Samaje Perine. I love the Perine signing. He said he's built to last. Stays on the field. He's good at picking up blitzes. He's good at catching passes. I don't want to see Perine in the starting role for more than three or four games, but I think he can handle that. And we saw him really succeed behind Joe Mixon when Mixon was out and then as a third down back. Mixon was just off the field on third downs. Off the field. But Murray's just a truck, man. Like I said, he reminds me a lot of Michael Turner. If you remember Michael Turner, when he was playing with the Chargers, and Michael Turner, he was the backup to LaDainian Tomlinson, and then he went to the Falcons after that. And then the last thing to talk about is the offensive game from last year. He goes, it wasn't good on offense. This is Sean Payton talking again. It wasn't good on offense. It was hard film to watch. Yep, we knew that. We knew that. Now, let's get into the Broncos trading talk. Jerry Jeudy, Sean Payton, once again, reiterated today. I see and read just like everyone, but we're not trading those two players. That would be Jeudy and Sutton. You know, they're two good football players. Okay? They're two good football players. And Payton continued to say, we're in the business of gathering talent right now. Why do people call? Because they know we're void of draft picks and that we might, because there were some discussions a year ago, I think, regarding Cortland. So, you know, the talk about trading Cortland Sutton was really last year. But void of draft picks or not, teams get calls about a lot of their players. One of the two, I really believe one of the two would have been moved if the price was right. Jeudy for a first and probably Sutton for a second. And it could still turn out that Sutton is traded for a second and that Jeudy is traded for a first. But right now, Payton just doesn't see other teams moving and making a deal for them at that price. Heck, the Cardinals are asking for a second rounder and more for DeAndre Hopkins, who is way more accomplished than anyone on the Broncos roster. He's older. He's older than Sutton and Jeudy, but they're asking for a second rounder and more. So what, like a second and a fifth? I mean, I'd take that over Cortland Sutton. But no matter what, Peyton and Peyton, Sean and George, they're going to have to massage Sutton's feelings. We know they were hurt after he tweeted that he just wanted to be somewhere that wanted him. Probably needs to be a little sit down with Jeudy too. But ultimately, I see both these guys being back. The other teams not meeting the draft pick requirement that they're going to need. And don't forget, Jeudy led the team in receptions and yards and touchdowns. And Sutton was second with just 2 receiving touchdowns. How awful was that last year? 829 yards receiving for Sutton. Now, Mile High Report had a fan poll about trading Judy, Sutton, both or none. Obviously not a scientific poll, but 44% wanted Courtland Sutton moved. Again, for what, though? That's the question for a second. I mean, if you get a third or a fourth, are you moving Courtland Sutton? 38% wanted neither traded. 9% wanted Judy traded. 9% wanted both to be dealt. Again, there's no reason to deal these guys for less than fair market value. And I think there's no reason to trade these guys for less than the Broncos think what their market value is, which is either a first or a second, depending on the player. Sutton was productive last year. He just still doesn't seem like he's the same guy before the big injury. So the Broncos still have their top three receivers. They got Judy, Sutton, and Patrick. They added Lil Jordan Humphrey, one of the best names in the NFL. I remember Lil Jordan. And Marquez Callaway, who's another guy. Actually, he wanted to be called Marquez. Marquez Callaway, deep threat. KJ Hamler is on the team. He had a pec injury, though, so I wonder how much he's going to be set back. So that's a decent receiver core. When you add in Greg Dulcich, they're probably going to add a rookie. It looks like it's going to be a run-first team. Peyton kind of hinted as much again at these meetings. And it's enough weapons for Russell Wilson as long as the receivers aren't decimated by injuries once again. I think they need a slot receiver. They've got picks in rounds 3 and 4. Keep an eye on that. All right, last but not least, final four. Hit both of the bets on the show last week, UConn and Creighton. Very, very happy about that. Kind of got screwed out of some money yesterday. It was not profitable for me because I backed Creighton again. And we had a brutal, brutal call at the end of the game against San Diego State. And some of you are familiar with San Diego State over the years, Mountain West Conference fans, Colorado State. You know, this has been a great run for San Diego State, but a brutal call at the end. It was a physical game. The refs allowed a lot of contact for the first 39 minutes and 59 seconds. And then ultimately a slight push decided the game. So with a spot on the Final Four on the line, Nembhard fouls Darian Trammell with 1.2 seconds remaining. Replays did show that Nembhard had his left hand on Trammell's right hip, okay, when he went into the paint. But if we're not calling that all game, why are we calling that with 1 second left? You can argue the other side all you want. I think it was probably a little bit more than ticky-tack, but the situation and the way that the game was called. I mean, Nembhard probably said to himself, in a flash, in a quick moment, hey, they're not calling this all game. I can go do this. I just don't like that foul being called in the situation. But bottom line is, it was called. The Aztecs did just enough to move on to the Final Four. And here are the lines for Saturday's games in Houston. Florida Atlantic, FAU, beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. Home of a lot of retirees. Anyways, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. Aztecs -2. At -108 on Bet Rivers. Total here sitting at 131.5. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The San Diego State team during the regular season and even the conference tournament, not the greatest defensive team in that they've had there in recent years. But boy, have they turned it up in the tournament. And they're getting enough scoring. Florida Atlantic, run by the guards in the backcourt. Right now, I have no play on this game whatsoever. I have no feel on this game. The other game is Miami and UConn. UConn 5.5-point favorites. 149.5 is the total. And I do have a lean on this. This is not an official bet, but as I started digging in on this one, UConn to me is just by far and away the best team left. And we had our eyes on UConn at the beginning of the season. Now they are just mauling their opponents. And while I love the fight of Miami, love it. Love Jim Larrañaga, their head coach. Got a chance to know him when he was at George Mason. One of the better and probably the most underrated head coach in college basketball today. But I just don't know. That 13-point comeback, I mean, they're down 13 in the second half to Texas. You're never out of the game. But UConn, is just demolishing teams. And I think that 5.5, there's a heavy lean from me toward UConn right now. Again, on Thursday, I'll give you my picks for Thursday's show. These games aren't until Saturday. One starting at 4:09 our time, and then the second scheduled for around 6:49, but it'll be late because the other game will go too late.
He's back. Spread a stare. RunPureBets.com. He joins me now to talk about tonight's game, a monster game between the Nuggets and the Sixers. Really, probably a bigger game for the Sixers and a bigger game for Jokic in the MVP race. My friend, how are you? And my first question to you would be, how big of a game is this in the MVP race?
For the MVP race, it's huge, right? Because there's already great discourse going back and forth. It feels like Jokic had the award locked up about a month ago, but then the Nuggets struggled. They had some problems there, and it feels like he's getting it back. But, you know, that little bit of struggle already allowed them to kind of push the narrative to get Embiid there. And I think there is a little bit of pushback for Jokic being a three-time MVP. I think that some voters are afraid there. And we've seen voter fatigue happen before through the history of this award, right? I always say, like, Jordan should have won from, like, 86 to 96. He should have just won 10 straight years. But they don't like to do that, right? LeBron should have won from, like, 2008 to 2016, right? But you see Derrick Rose move in there, and they give some other deserving candidates the award. So, you know, the idea of voter fatigue is real. So this is a great opportunity. We know that Embiid did really well the last time they went head-to-head. That was in Philadelphia. Both these teams are so much better at home. I can't wait to see how Jokic answers back tonight.
What if Embiid sits tonight? What if Embiid ends up sitting tonight? Does that hurt him in the MVP race? He's questionable.
I don't know if it hurts him more than it hurts Jokic's ability to answer back, right?
Yeah.
So let's say I'm holding the Jokic ticket, right? What I want for him is to go out tonight to get a double-digit victory over to the 76ers and put up huge stats, right? And kind of even out that head-to-head. So if Embiid were to sit, it almost hurts Jokic more because he doesn't get the chance to answer back, right? And put up that great performance of his own at home. I don't think it hurts, Embiid as much as it would hurt Jokic.
Really? See, I kind of feel like one of the things Jokic has over Embiid is he's played more games, you know, and then you're sitting with a chance to go head to head, and then Embiid comes out and he says he's not stat padding too. I mean, it just comes back to, why does everybody hate Jokic when the guy has not said anything? I don't think he cares about the MVP. There's a stupid rumor going around that he was not playing as well because he didn't want the MVP, which is asinine. But to me, you and I are just going to look differently here. I think if Embiid doesn't play tonight, that should be a stain on him because he's missing another game. And we could have 10 more games played for Jokic over Embiid.
Yeah, you can make that argument. I think that Jokic needs that to bounce back on that head-to-head. Because I would hate to have that one head-to-head is the only one that they're pointing to.
No, you know what? It's a good point. The thing that got Jokic back, and this thing flipped, the MVP odds flipped because the Nuggets stunk for like three weeks. They were just awful. And that's how Embiid got ahead. But then Jokic goes out, dominates, and the Bucks get spanked here in Denver too. So at this point, what else does Jokic need to do? That's my question. What else does this dude need to do?
That's a good question. And like I said, I think that the biggest thing that he's fighting against is voter fatigue. Yeah. If he had never won the award before, I think the odds would look completely different. Because they would say, we need to credit this guy. You know, he's been doing great for the last 3 years. His advanced stats are actually better this year than the last two MVP years, right? So he's continued to improve. The main thing I think that he's fighting against is voter fatigue. And there's some other discourse going around as well that I think that people might want to just vote for somebody new, you know, regardless of the statistics.
Well, that straw poll earlier in the year, though, kind of made me think that was not going to be the case, and I was absolutely shocked. But another interesting thing that comes out today is an ESPN article about Jokic's defense not being good, being awful.
And then you still look at this team and he's the best defender on the team is what the numbers say, which is kind of fascinating. How much is defense going to affect him? Like, that's a big reason why I think it's a big excuse why the voters wouldn't vote for him. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say it because objectively, right, we can, you know, I'm a biggest Jokic fan as you, right? But we can say, you know, Embiid is better defensively, better with rotation down low, more likely to get block shots, and even a little better on the perimeter. So that can be an effect. And like I said, I think this goes into voter fatigue. I think that if Jokic had never won the award, we wouldn't be looking for ways, you know, to poke holes in his candidacy, so to speak, as much as we are now, because we're hesitant to make him the first three-time winner since Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Jordan never won three times. LeBron's never won three times, right? I think that these type of narratives are playing in the head that they're saying, well, if Jordan ever won three times, right? And they could say, right, Jordan and LeBron are probably objectively better players than Jokic for their careers. You know, why does he deserve it? You know, that's what I think that they're going at here, is that we have more of an incentive, I would say, so to speak, for the media to play up other candidacies and downplay Jokic's just because they don't want to make him three-time.
Spread, what about tonight's game? 5.5 point favorites for the Nuggets. 228's the total. Has actually dropped a point or so. Any thoughts on tonight's game with Philly coming to Denver and a Denver team that's 31-6 at home?
Yeah, and that's where it becomes so... I think this is a huge matchup for Denver. Denver's the team, you know, home road splits are something big that I use when I'm modeling. My model is fairly simple, but I think home road splits are important, you know. Sometimes there's some flaws, right? Because it's going to have me bet against the Warriors on the road and the Grizzlies on the road almost every single night. But the Nuggets at home have been a thing. My model loves the Nuggets at home, and it's for objective reasons. They've continued to be good at home. Philadelphia is another team that does also have home road splits. Now, I think that 76ers have been a little better on the road this year than they have the last two seasons. But still, this is another team that really thrives at home. So I like Denver at home a lot, whether or not Embiid plays. Now, if Embiid sits, the line's going to move and it's not going to be as attractive. But even if Embiid plays, which is what I'm hoping as a fan, right? I mean, let's see these two guys out on the court. I think that'd be the best way to solve the debate. I still like Denver, and I like them to cover the spread tonight.
What about West? Out West, you've got the Grizzlies that have won six straight. They're actually within three games of the Nuggets for the number one overall seed. This is absolutely fascinating how the Grizzlies have just shot up. And, you know, when Morant went out, everything still was just fine, and they played really good basketball. Then you get the Lakers. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise if they don't get the one because they don't have to play with the Lakers. But I'll start with this. Do the Grizzlies catch the Nuggets?
No, but I want to give some credit to the Grizzlies here. First of all, they have the advantage of flying under the radar, right? I mean, we haven't talked about the Grizzlies a lot all year. You know, they've been the second best team in the West. They did fantastic last year, and John Morant sits and they still win. What is that a credit to? The coaching of Taylor Jenkins and the player development of Taylor Jenkins. I don't think that we can speak enough about what a good job he's done of making sure each player is ready for their role and then able to adjust it. So you look at this Grizzlies team, they continue to develop players properly, and that's why they can absorb injuries better than anyone else. So I do think the Grizzlies have a good chance here in the West, but I don't think that they catch the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets, that lull was good for them, right? Mm-hmm. This happens every year to every season. You can't stay on for 82 games. Right. So you need to have these patches. It gives Coach Mike Malone some film. Right. Hey, this is what we need to do. It's hard to get guys to listen when you're on a 9-game winning streak. Right. On what they need to correct. Right. Because you're winning. This opens some eyes. It gives you some film and taste that defeat. Right. Gets you a little more hungry. So I think the Nuggets, you know, although it's tough as a fan to see them, it's good for them overall. And I think that now that they've kind of got that out of their system and kind of used it to wake them up a little bit, that they'll cruise and they'll be able to keep this lead. I mean, it's a 3-game lead with 10 games to go, right? So it is going to be tough to catch them if they continue to win So I think the Nuggets do end up finishing up number one, but I want to give a lot of credit to the Grizzlies for what they're doing, because they're kind of flying under the radar, and I haven't heard anyone pick like the Grizzlies to win the West, and they're the number two seed now, and I think that's wild.
Should we be concerned about the Lakers with LeBron coming back? Is that really a threat? Is this team really going to take down a number one seed? Are they going to make a run in the playoffs just getting LeBron back and AD playing the way he's played?
They're definitely a threat. They are. They match up well with the Nuggets, right? Because if you were to say who's the best guy in the league to defend Jokic, I mean, AD's up there with his size, his athleticism, a pretty smart guy too, and he's competent on the perimeter. So Jokic can't bring him just out and use him like he does some of these other big men who can be a little more limited. So you have to be concerned when the Lakers won the championship. They went against a similar team in the bubble. And, I mean, you know, hey, maybe I'm a hater. It felt like the Lakers got a lot of calls, right? Mm-hmm. Felt like the Lakers got a lot of calls in that 2020 series. And they know what their bread is buttered, right? LeBron's going to get you a lot more eyeballs. So, yes, I would be concerned if I was a Nuggets fan about the Lakers sneaking in there. I also think that they made great pickups. I watched Jared Vanderbilt out there, and I go, this guy's perfect. This guy's perfect for this team. He's everything he needs. Dennis Schroeder, this is the only team he seems to work on, right? Every other team he goes, he doesn't help them win at all. He's perfect on this team. And Malik Beasley gives them a little bit of space. Austin Reaves has been playing great. So, yeah, I think you do have to be concerned about the Lakers if you're the Nuggets. I think the couple things that I would counter, right, when I want to make the argument for the Nuggets is the addition of Bruce Brown and KCP. I think that makes them a little more versatile on the defensive end. And just the fact that Jokic is a little older, a little more mature, and I think he understands when to take over. And you'll see some games he doesn't put up a lot of shot attempts, and I'm fine with that because he's basically playing point guard from the center position. But when his guys are hot, he's going to continue to feed them, and then he's going to take over in the fourth quarter when they need him. A little more experience. I do favor the Nuggets there, but I don't think that's going to be your normal 1-8 series if that were to happen.
No. I don't think anyone wants to see LeBron and AD. Then again, a lot can happen over the end of the season, and these two guys have LeBron injury prone over the last 2 years, and then AD, if he sneezes the wrong way, he could miss time. So that's the other thing you got to look at with the Lakers. My friend, plug everything you're doing, please.
All right. RunPureSports.com, of course. Become a member if you're not already. Promo code SPREAD15 will get you 15% off your first month. Of course, that's going to give you access to all the great DFS content we do over at RunPureSports. But particularly as well, my NBA playbook, which has been fantastic. We're up over 30 units on the year. So I do it with Tyler. Tyler Hicks and I do it together. I create mathematical projections, and then we go through and we put up bets on every single one. We add in player props, and then we also, if you know, you want to have some fun, some performance doubles, some long shots, you know, some plus 800s, right? Hey, you know, this guy to get a triple double and win, and, you know, or this guy to get more than 35 plus points and win. So there's all types of action there on the NBA playbook. But if you, you know, you just want to log in and just use the bets, we're up over 30 units on the year. It's been fantastic. So RunPureSports.com. Of course, follow me at Spread Astaire. I also write for Bookmakers Review, so you'll get articles, usually about player props. They come out every day right around this time, and you can see what player props I'm on the day. So follow me at Spread Astaire and head on over and become a member at RunPureSports.com.
Big game tonight, Nuggets Sixers, Ball Arena. Thank you, Spread Astaire. Thanks to Melissa, Adam, and Terry as well for making this podcast happen. Follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.